Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, unbothered, impermeable, unbothered. I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand. Melania, permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist. Fake world, an imposter. Only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C. That's my roster. You know I just.
Hello,
happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday. All right.
I was just saying yesterday, like, there's no way that it's been 2 weeks already. Like, no way.
It's been
impossible.
Oh, let me tell you. Time flies when you're having fun.
That might be what it is.
That is exactly what it is. So what's going on in the world now?
I don't know. I tried to watch.
So much. Wait. We gotta talk about the Isley Brothers for a second, because Daddy, I've been trying to get to you. I've been trying to call you. In my mind, I keep saying I gotta call you, but then I fall asleep because I've been working hard. But the Isley Brothers. I mean, when I tell you, we was up dancing on the floor and listening to that music. I was like, oh
wow.
My God! Now I understand. When we used to be in the car and you used to play your music, we would get so upset. But then you used to tell us, like, listen to the way we used to talk to our women. But as a kid,
yeah.
You're not paying attention to that, and you're not really taking that into consideration. And then nowadays, I'm like, we don't got no music for the youth. We don't got no music.
That's a lie.
How the Isley.
That's a lie.
No.
That's a lie.
Okay. We don't have Isley Brothers. Earth,
that's
Wind, and Fire type music.
That's a lie.
Because because
they
when
don't
you,
play
when
it
you
on the radio.
Let me finish. So their music is just timeless. Like, their music, you can listen to it over and over. I have been just listening to Isley Brothers ever since the Versus Battle, because I was like, oh,
wow.
I forgot that was them. I didn't even realize that was Isley Brothers. And I was like,
listen,
you just appreciate, you know, like, I just appreciate that type of music where they just, baby, 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 I've been waiting for you all day. I've been prepping, you know, prepping your food for you. You know, come on and let me rub your feet for you. Let me, you know, cater to you. Let me take care of you. And nowadays, it's just like, bitch, what you giving me?
Listen, I'm going to push some. I'm gonna put some respect on the names of the on the artists that are doing what they gotta do and don't get respect on the radio, because there is a lot of artists. Even if you just put on your YouTube and just let it flow and don't put in songs, or if you go into Tidal and then listen to the recommended tracks, because there's people that you've suggested to me. I'm gonna put some respect on these people's names, because
but
we
it's
look
different.
At, we
it's
look
different.
These people up.
It's
no,
like Xavier Omar, amazing. You know, there's
exactly.
So many Miguel, amazing.
There's
but
Gideon,
it's different
Miguel,
music.
DBSN.
It's different.
It's not different. It's not
yes,
different.
It
there's people that you. There is people that you got to put some respect on their names, because they
no,
are making
they get
music
their respect.
And they do not play
they
it on
get
the radio.
Respect.
No.
But they get the respect,
no.
But
I,
it's just a different type of feel. It's a different type of music that, you know, back in the day, especially when, you know, with the Isley Brothers were coming up in the 50s, like that, like the integration of people, like universal, like black, white, brown, gay, straight, LGBTQ, XYZ, like it just brought everybody together. It's such good feel good music, positive energy, positive vibes. It's a little bit different now, because you know it's just different. But I respect you know me. I be telling you, I keep my ears to the street.
Listen. I respectfully disagree, because the stuff that I listen to is not what they play on the radio. I respectfully disagree. disagree because I see, I understand where you're coming from, but this, I just respectfully disagree because I know music that when I listen to it, you get the same type of feeling. They do not play on the radio, and they do not get the respect that they deserve. So I personally will put some of that respect towards them. There are people, they do not play them on the radio because they want us to feel this way. They want us to feel like we have nothing, and we have a lot because there are a lot. There's artists, there's people
that I
follow.
That's not what I'm saying, though, but I hear what you're saying. There's a difference in what you're saying versus appreciating the previous generation's wealth of music, the instruments, the live instruments that they play on these
and
songs.
And there are people
like,
that do the same thing. I respect that generation, but there are people that are doing the same and need to get the recognition and respect in the same way. There'll never be another Isley Brothers, never be another Earth, Wind & Fire. Those people, there's no comparison to any of those
people.
And I understand what you're saying. But the people that play all the instruments, there's people like Masego plays every, and if you listen
no,
to
Masego
his music,
is amazing.
His music is timeless. Timeless.
But
when I watched the French Kiwi Juice, FKJ and him, when they did Tadao and they used the instrument and they played the saxophone
different.
And they played every single instrument. It was the two of them playing the instruments and creating that song. There's nothing like that in the world. I agree with you, and there'll never be another Isley Brothers, never be another Earth, Wind & Fire. It's a completely different conversation. There'll never be another Michael Jackson. Much as the Weeknd, but you said the music doesn't exist now. It absolutely
does. No, I'm saying
there'll just never be
right
another
now.
Earth, Wind & Fire. And
that's what I meant.
But
it's not taking away from the music that we hear now, because like you said, I put you on to a lot of different music because
exactly.
I don't even listen to the radio. Like there's no
exactly.
I don't have time to listen to the radio. So what I'll usually do is I'll listen to different artists, and then from those artists I listen to other artists, because when you start to like on Apple
right.
Music or whatever you listen to, you know, for your music, there's so many different avenues to hear so many different people and their perspectives, but it is just different. And I think it's also different, you know, because hubby says I'm a little partial to the Isley Brothers because I kept voting for the Isley Brothers. I was like, nah, they took that. They took that role. They took that round. But it's just a feel good music. That's the music that we grew up listening to, like in the car, like knowing words that I don't even realize that I knew the words to. And I was just like, it's because we heard it. This is what we grew up on. And, you know, I just have a great appreciation for that generation, for the older generation that allowed the individuals such as Masego, such as Xavier Omar, such as SZA, such as Summer Walker, you know, such as all of those that are doing amazing things and also creating timeless records, you know, you got to give respect to them. But, you know, I just appreciate it that much more after seeing it. And my man, Ronald Osley,
Most people didn't even know who he is.
That's
you can't even tell who he is.
Man. I was like, now
his
I don't
want
all the ladies love him.
His fur matches beard. I didn't even know that was the same man.
Nah, he's the swag. And then during the beginning, he was sitting down. People thought he was like, they were sleeping on him. They was like, oh no, he's probably injured. The second round, he came through. He said, psych, got this. I'm going to show up and show out. And this is how it's going to go. You forget I'm still as young as you are. Go ahead, Daddy.
No, it's okay because I like y'all excitement because I think that Versus had such an impact. I've heard more about Versus over the past few weeks because of the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind & Fire than I've ever heard before. There was just something about going back because I don't know who could possibly be chosen, because some of the greatest concert I ever went to, I've said it before, I say it over and over again, was in the spring of 1978 when Bob Marley opened up for the Isley Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That was an event that could never. Bob Marley exited the stage, and for folk that are listening, and even for y'all, if you want to check it out, think about Exodus, the song Exodus by Bob Marley. Bob Marley and the Wailers exited the stage singing Exodus, movement of a people.
Mm.
You know, that's part of the words in that song, Exodus, movement of the people. And then there's a catchphrase where they say, let my people go. Let my people,
right.
And they sing it, and it's a driving rhythm. But then in the background, because I grew up with the Isley Brothers, so in the background, I heard, I don't know if it was Bob Marley and the Wailers. I don't know if it was the Isley Brothers. What I do know is that it could have been a combination of both. Because as Bob Marley was leaving the stage singing Exodus, movement of a people, let my people go, the Isley Brothers came on the stage singing Fight the Power. Fight the Power. Yeah. And let me tell you, know, that was such, I gained a lot of respect for the Isley Brothers that day.
Mm-hmm.
That concert, I respected them. I enjoyed them. I have all their albums. I got them on iPod. To allow someone like Bob Marley to open for you becomes a very dangerous thing. Because sometimes the opening act can steal your act.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that happens
and
sometimes.
I'll tell you what happened. It happened, and I don't, you know, for some reason I've been talking about this. I don't know if I said it on the last show, but maybe I did. But I was talking about the concert I went to where Richard Pryor was the main attraction.
You were talking to me about it.
Oh, okay. And Roberta Flack opened up for him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Roberta Flack, one of the most phenomenal singers, composers, writers, phenomenal. But she's not supposed to open for Richard Pryor, because by the time Roberta Flack was done, people were asleep. Because she has that very mellow, laid-back type of music. And so you must be careful, because you can mess up two people's reputations. Because Roberta Flack's reputation was messed up. Because Richard Pryor came on talking all sorts of nonsense. But people were not in the mood to hear it. Now, I went back to see him again, and this time Patti LaBelle opened for him. And Patti LaBelle, on her encore song, Sister was laying down on the ground, kicking off her heel.
Mm. Mm.
People were ready for Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor came on talking about what he wanted to do to Patti LaBelle, and she not gotten up off that stage. You know, and that alone opened up for everybody to get ready. He was talking about what he wanted to smell, what he wanted to taste, what he wanted.
Wait a minute.
He was raw. He's raw. Okay? This is Richard Pryor. So that's an example.
Oh, my goodness.
Of a concert that can be phenomenal and a concert that can be messed up, not because the performers are not great, but because it wasn't a good team. But the Isley Brothers and Bob Marley, that was an electrifying experience.
Mm-hmm.
Earth,
I
Wind,
can imagine.
And Fire, I've seen Earth, Wind, and Fire at least 20 times in concert.
Wow.
And they had a group. They had a female group known as the Emotions. And the Emotions used to come up, used to be on the, first of all, the stage doors.
Wait, they
open.
Got the Elements? They got the Elements and they got the Emotions. What else they got?
That's it. Well, they had a line. They had three different acts in their concert. The Emotions was act number two. They had a single. I forget who it was that sang in the beginning. Phenomenal person.
Did they have the Season?
No,
the
it wasn't quite the Season.
The Day?
No, it was individual.
Joking. I'm just joking.
Maybe it was Flower Top or something like that. I don't know. But the Emotion, when the stage opened up, when the curtain opened in Radio City Music Hall, this is one example. When it opened up, there was a huge flower pot on the stage, and the Emotions just rose up out of the flowers. That's how they opened up the scene. When Earth, Wind, and Fire came out, you know, they would build it up. They'd say, and now before you, here are the elements, earth, wind, and fire. And all of a sudden, when there's a spaceship comes from the ceiling coming down onto the stage, and then Earth, Wind, and Fire come out. I ain't seen that since I saw your boy George Clinton and Parliament Funkadelics. Them folks had quite a concert, boy. Let me tell you something. You know, they had the Brides of Funkenstein. And then they had my man that sang the Rubber Band. He was another one. And, man, so in answer to what Candace is saying and answer to what you're saying also, Sasha, is that there are phenomenal performers out here today doing great work.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm looking at is sometimes when young people go to a concert, and like you say, they don't play it on the radio, they don't do that because most of the concerts we hear about are really more aligning with rap music, so to speak, than it is some of the other music, unless you're tuned in to understanding mm-hmm. who's in concert. But, you see, it is the power of Earth, Wind, and Fire. You know, one of the things they always joke with Ron Isley about is they say, do you know how many babies you created because of your music? because their music, love that they, and like what you're talking about, how a man was willing to present himself to a woman to let her know, honey, I love you so much, I'm vulnerable for you.
Yeah.
You know, you know, my love, you know, I'm weak with my love, you know, and now.
Yeah. What am I going to do without you? I can't breathe.
Yeah, you know, what's something wrong with my baby? Something wrong with me, you know. The songs that they sang, the things that they said. But you see, this is why today's music exists.
Mm-hmm.
Because do you know what happens when you're listening to Earth, Wind, and Fire? Earth, Wind, and Fire is totally Egypt. When I think of Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think of Egypt. You should see some of their album covers.
Wow.
And that's why they came down in a spaceship. Because they were singing songs. In fact, I have something up on YouTube where the background music is their song In the Stone. I'm talking about the music in the background in this particular song. And that's by Earth, Wind, and Fire. So I was just happy. My thing is I'm happy that y'all were exposed to it. Not so much because of me, because you know you were listening to that with me when you were in the car with me or wherever we were going.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
now you saw it from a different
James
perspective.
James Brown, Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah. Yep.
That was it. That, you know,
I'm
that was the caravan of love.
Yeah, by
that
choice,
makes
not
able
by,
to
not
appreciate
by,
good. Yeah. But that makes us able to appreciate good music now, because the things that people enjoy nowadays, there's no substance to what they, I mean, some things that they play on the radio, but then, like, there's a lot of no substance things that are popular,
yeah.
But we as a family can appreciate good artists because of the way that we were raised. And that's why you told me stuff the other day. You guys were here telling me, and I showed you, like, this is the first person on my playlist. Like, was it Xavier Omar? Like
Xavier
we know
Omar.
Good music because we were exposed to good music. So I think that is important,
mm-hmm.
too, because,
but,
you know.
But
when
they will not highlight that music. And the other thing that they do in music now is that they don't keep people famous long. Look at the Isley Brothers. Over 60
50
years.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
years.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yep.
You know, Earth, Wind, and Fire been around.
Yep.
Maurice White, you see, Maurice White was the writer. He was the mind behind Earth, Wind, and Fire. He joined the Ancestors, so he was not there. You didn't see him. He is the power of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah.
Mm. He's the one that wrote those songs. You know, the songs that they, if you just go to the end, but all things put to the side, what I am happy about is that they were exposed to this generation.
Yeah.
And that you could hear this type of music. You could understand what
mm-hmm.
it is that you're dealing with. In fact, I think that might influence a lot of performers today. Now that they see the success, maybe they're going to
mm-hmm.
move back to doing a couple of things. But you see, that love power, that music power, the ability to bring us all together that way was something that they just could not do anymore. So what they did is that they compromised the music. And there are things that can be said about what happened, because that's my generation. I know what happened in music going back into the 70s. Black radio was very powerful. See, we don't have, we didn't have all that we have today. So black radio was very important. Black radio
that's
is how
true.
We got our information. And so black radio became very powerful, and that began to promote black music. Sam Cooke, you can go back into Benny King. You know, you can go back into Mary Wells and others, and then Motown hit. And when Motown hit in the 60s, it disrupted the entire system. What Berry Gordy and Smokey Robinson did, it literally changed the structure of music and dance. That's why Dick Clark kept trying to go after Don Cornelius, because now you had Soul Train.
That was so long.
When you're dealing with this, you can see what happened then, and you can see what's happening now, and you can understand why those things happen. I understand. I talk to your brother, you know, frequently, you know, and we talk about music. I see very easily how we have come to this point in our life. In terms of what we're experiencing, because it what you talk about, black power, that's what you're talking about. And with this voting that's going on now, what are you talking about? You're talking about black power. So the same things that we suffered from back then that they tried to stop us from is the same thing they're doing today in different ways. But I'm just happy y'all appreciate the Isley Brothers and Earth, Wind, and Fire, and I pray that more of these verses will come. Because I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've seen snippets of it. I haven't seen the whole thing. But I can't imagine
who
would have
won.
I haven't watched the whole thing yet.
Did you watch at least the ending, like the last song?
I don't even know if that was the last song. I have no idea.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, I have no idea.
You know what? I'm not even going to spoil it. But it's just from beginning to end. Like, we were out at dinner, and I was like, we got to run back so we can watch it on the TV. Because I was like, I have to see this live and in person. And, you know, as crazy as Steve Harvey is, like, he was a perfect person, despite him being partial to the Earth, Wind, and Fire and everything. But there's one part where he walks around with Ronald Isley's pimp coat on. My God. Yeah. I mean, you just have to see it. And then even, like, it's so crazy because you see the respect, the mutual respect between them because they were singing each other songs.
And I was just like,
this is amazing. We don't see this nowadays. They want so much rap beef. They want so much, you know, comparison between one or the other. One, you know, you can't have two successful people out there. But they genuinely looked as if they were – you know, in support of one another, but the amount of talent that, and I forgot his name, the one that stole your look, Daddy. I was like, oh no, he didn't take my whole entire father's look. the one that plays the guitar.
You talking about Ernie Isley?
Yeah, Ernie. I was like, wait a minute, he done. Kamaya was like, bitch stole your father's look.
Listen, let me tell you something about Ernie Isley. You know, originally, the Isley Brothers, their studio was in Long Island. It's now an African-American museum. I spoke there before. That's how I know, because when I went to this museum in Long Island, they told me, you know, this used to be the Isley Brothers studio. They turned it into an African-American museum. But, you know, their lead guitarist in the beginning was Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, wow. I can imagine.
Jimi Hendrix was part of the Isley Brothers, and Jimi Hendrix was the mentor to Ernie Isley. That's why he sounds like that, particularly on Who's That Lady?
Oh, my God.
When you hear that guitar, that's Jimi Hendrix.
The sheer talent. That is,
absolutely.
And that's what makes it. That's what, like it just shut down the whole thing. Like, there's no comparison. When he breaks that out, there's no comparison. And, as I love both of them, I was just like the sheer talent, like the performance, all eyes were on the Isleys. That's just my perspective.
Well, you know, but you want to know something else? part of that, honestly and truthfully, is because Maurice White is no longer part of Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay.
If Maurice White had been there, he was a performer.
Okay.
Now, I'm
okay.
not saying that you would have changed your view, but what I'm saying is that Maurice White was the center of Earth, Wind, and Fire. He was the writer. He was the performer. He was the thinker. He's the one that made Earth, Wind, and Fire really to the point. He wrote
okay.
the songs. There's another beautiful song they had called I'll Write the Songs. They were just so phenomenal. You
yeah.
know?
And I think Ernie wrote a lot of the songs from that they performed on Isley Brothers.
Yes. That's after a certain period. Ernie became,
yeah.
I think it was 3+3 was the album that came out. That it used to only be three Isley Brothers all the time.
Then it was like six.
But you see, what happened was they included more members of their family. And they
okay.
brought other family members in at a certain point in their musical history. I think it's the album that's titled 3+3 because it was the three
okay.
main Isley Brothers. And then there were three, and Ernie Isley was one of them.
Okay, okay.
And there was a shift because in the 70s, we started getting into the psychedelic music. We started getting into a different type of music.
Mm-hmm.
And when the 70s came in and Cloud Nine by the Temptations and you know, Ball of Confusion by the Temptations, the music altered itself. Then we had Sly and the Family Stone come. See, all of this is part of history. And
mm-hmm.
if you go back and you just look at Sly and the Family Stone, you look at Bootsy Collins. Bootsy Collins
mm-hmm.
was part of
mm-hmm.
became part of George Clinton, but Bootsy Collins replaced the horn player, I believe it was the horn player, in James Brown's band. So Bootsy Collins had been trained by James Brown, who then goes into George Clinton Parliament Funkadelic.
Okay.
And so what's happening is that the music is going to change now. It's in the 70s, in the 80s. You're going to have the civil rights movement. You're going to have a lot of things going on. The music began
mm-hmm.
to change. Stevie Wonder creates. Stevie Wonder is the one that created the synthesizer, the musical
wow.
instrument called the synthesizer. That changed the
wow.
sound of music. So there's a lot of things going on as the Isley Brothers are progressing through this. They start moving into another area where the music is profound, and here comes Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a phenomenal time, and the powers that be saw that, and they said, we got to stop this. And so that's when they began to take what we know as rap music or hip-hop culture, and they began to, by 1965, you see a growth of it. 1965 going to 1975. By the time you get to the 70s going into the 80s when rap becomes famous, Rapper's Delight is on the air, you start to see the incursion, the implementation of sex and gang rap, violence.
Mm-hmm.
You start seeing things start to change. This is around the late 70s, early 80s, particularly the early 80s. You start hearing the sounds that are coming out that are more violent and more misogynistic, disrespectful towards women. The role that women played in rap has never, ever really been. Remember, Sasha, when we were in the studio and that sister was there? Remember the brother and sister that was there, that sister that had been a rapper back in the day? Streets of the Bronx.
Yes.
Remember her?
Yes. Oh my goodness. Oh my God, how did I forget her name? She was the original. She was the original MC. Sha-Rock. That was her name.
Okay. Now
she
with
was
that
the first female MC.
That's exact and she I remember that because I was on the streets at that time, so I know who was doing what in terms of DJing. You know, the school where I was
yeah.
Teaching and became an assistant principal, Cool Herc used to have house parties right down the block on Sedgwick.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I'd be coming home from work. People would be lining up ready to go to the house party. And the reason
yeah.
why people were going to the house party is because they remember what they did up in New Paltz with Joe's? Remember when, what was the rapper that came that time? You were there, Sasha.
It was rapper that came? The Waves? It was Joe's?
Yeah, it was at Joe's up in New Paltz. Oh, man.
It was a rapper. Came to Joe's? You sure it was Joe's and not Sonny Acres?
No, I'm pretty sure it was Joe's.
Because Joe's was smaller.
Yes, it was smaller, but he came up. And
which one is it?
I'm trying to think, but because I wasn't planning on talking about this, I didn't know, so I got to pull it up from my memory. But, you know, what Joe's did is that they forbid rap to be played anymore.
Wow.
They didn't
they
did not want the group that, you know, comes to rap events to be a Joe. And so the students came to me and they said, well, what should we do? Should we boycott them? I say, here's what you do. I say, start doing what we did back in the day. Have your own house parties. Have your parties on campus.
Exactly.
DJ yourself.
Right.
And do not go to Joe's no more. Just don't go there no more.
And
they don't want you.
Every Thursday. Every Thursday I was at Joe's.
Okay. All right.
Right.
You see, and I'm trying to think of what the
brother. He's
very popular, very famous. Came to Joe's.
I'm trying to remember.
This happened after you left.
I remember.
This happened when you were there. Happened when you were there. But
it did.
Because
I know
rap.
Sunny Acres. Jadakiss was at Sunny Acres.
Okay. My bad. My bad. Then it's not Joe. My bad.
Yep.
Jadakiss. That's
Listen,
him.
I know
that's
my
the one.
School.
Okay. Okay. That's okay.
Joe's was more like a bar. Like, I don't even know how to explain it. So I remember when Jadakiss came to Sunny Acres, and I was at Sunny Acres almost every weekend.
Okay, all right. Then it
I remember when Jadakiss was there.
But Joe's did stop rap.
They only had that type of music one day out of the week anyway. It was a very white-centered facility.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't
a
black facility, from what I remember.
Yeah, well, they stopped it all together, and the brothers came. This was after you had graduated and left. And then the brothers and the sisters came to me on campus and said, well, you know, well, so what do you think we should do? We had a whole meeting about that. And I said, it's very simple. Save your money to spend it somewhere else and have your own house party.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, rent
one
of the students.
The South Side.
And they could have also just had it in one of the student, activity centers.
Right, exactly.
You know, and
that's why
that's
I don't
what
believe
we
in
did.
Boycotting. I believe in just not going. Don't boycott, just don't go. I don't boycott things. If I want it, I get it. If I don't feel like it aligns with my morals and values, I'm not going to get it. No boycotting.
I don't boycott.
We just ain't patronizing. Not patronizing.
Well, you know, my
word.
Thing is, but in a sense it is. But, you know, my thing is, I don't boycott because the only thing boycott does is that it proves that you supported the wrong people. I don't boycott the newspapers.
Right.
I just don't buy them.
Right.
You know, I might dabble into something, but if it's not to my liking, that's it. I don't boycott you. I will not support you. I will not support you. I will save my pennies and spend it somewhere where people can appreciate it.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
But, you know, I'm just glad that you all, I'm just really glad that, you know, your reaction, and I hope the younger people's reaction is equally respectful to where you came from.
But I think it
will
be. That
music is where
honestly,
you came from.
But honestly, a lot of the artists now sample that music.
Absolutely.
That's why you can understand and respect it, and it brings sort of that, you know, the different generations together because it allows you to see that where it came from, where it originated from, and the inspiration that, you know, they were able to get from these artists that were out years prior to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, what I always encourage y'all, but your brother more because he was into music and writing and things. You got to understand the history. Mm-hmm. That's what I appreciate about Alicia Keys. Alicia Keys in, I think it's Songs in A Minor, I'm not sure. She has a piece where she samples Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven.
That's the first song on the album. That's the and that's one of the best. That's one of the best,
my goodness.
Songs.
And Deborah Cox and Whitney Houston sampled "For Elise" by Beethoven.
And that's my favorite classical song.
Okay. What I say to young people, know the history of it so you know the evolution. You know, right now I'm working on a project, and I'm really deep in this. I spend at least a half hour a day on researching this. The first human language was the click language. It was consonantal, if you want to call it. It had consonants. It had a lot of – it's spoken in South Africa today. If you want to hear it, listen to a song called Pata Pata by Miriam Makeba. You'll hear the clicks. That's the original human language.
There's another song that I made you listen to that was on Beyonce's. It was on Beyonce's album that I made you listen to, and it had some.
Yes.
It had an artist that, that sang in that as well.
Okay.
Wow.
Or rap. She was a rapper, I believe.
Do you remember the song
that I'm talking about?
Yes.
I feel like it's all. No, not already. Let me. I'm gonna check right now.
Okay.
I wonder if you have it on there so I can play it.
The point that I'm trying to make in what I'm saying is that in my research, now here's where your brother and younger people, this is why it's important to listen to people, no matter who may be speaking to you. As an adult, even as his father, did you get the song?
Yeah, I think, and I believe I have it on here. So when you finish your thought, I'll play it.
Okay. Point I'm making is this, in understanding history. Particularly as it relates to the younger and the elder. I always listen to y'all. When you spoke, I listened to you. The things that you were saying mattered to me, and I listened to you. And what I felt was right and true, I always considered how it relates to what you believe is right and true, and not assume that I have to be right, although many times I was. But what you had to say, no, I'm just being real. Well, I hope so, because if you were teaching me, he'd be in trouble.
I know you for 36 years on this side of the cosmic universe. I knew you for 36 years and millions of years before that.
And you knew your mother for 36 years and 10 months. You knew your mother before you. Your mother and you were hanging out for 10 months before anything even happened. But
I know.
Here's what I want to say about the click language. It's the first form of communication that came out of Central and South Africa. Out of it, vowels were included that expanded the language, because the click basically sounded very much like consonants. A, you know, B, C, D, F, G, you know, it had that sound. Now, when you add R, A, E, O, U, vowels, now you spread the consonants out and you create a vocabulary. And that's what the early Africans did. Now, when I was talking to your brother and he was telling me, he said, yo, Dad, you don't listen to the words. You see how the Isley Brothers and the Earth, Wind, and Fire, the words to the songs that you listen to and it sounds so good? Well, that's what I come up out of. I listen to words. Words matter. But in this day and age, it's the beats, not the words.
Yep.
The words are used to create the beats. So when Heru kept telling me, yo, Dad, don't get caught up in the words. Listen to the beats. I began to listen
that's
to
crazy.
The beats. But about a year ago, I was listening to a rap. I don't remember what it was. Couldn't tell you what it was. But I began to hear the click language.
Wow.
Through the beats, because I wasn't listening to the words. I was listening to the beats, and I began to hear in the beats. And so then I said, okay, let me go back for a moment, and let me listen to some classical music. Let me listen to Beethoven. So So I started listening to Beethoven, and I began to hear the beats and the clicks in Beethoven, particularly in
wow.
his piece called Military Clock. But hold on now. I then went and listened to Thelonious Monk, who was a jazz artist. And I began to hear the beats, and I began to hear the clicks. So what
Ooh.
I'm telling young people is, what you're doing out here was the formation of the first human language. You ain't doing nothing new. You have gone back to your past.
Mm-hmm.
And if an artist could go into, like, let's say, Jidenna, who basically has a root of Africa in him, and he's a rapper, let's say he should take the click language, the rap music, the consciousness that he has. Suppose he puts something together on that. Suppose in Wu-Tang,
mm-hmm.
they're listening to what I'm saying, and they say, you know something? I'm going to see if we could put a piece together that would show that. You got to study the history of things. Nothing happens in a vacuum. Everything happens because the right foot or the left foot went in front of the other foot. And that's what got you to where
mm-hmm.
you are. Rap, if it hadn't, hip-hop was born out of doo-wop. Doo-wop was born out of bebop. You can see the history of our greatness. And I'm just happy because I think that the younger generation, being brought into verses by all the other earlier ones, now have a sense of a music that is so phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still today. So even though we see music today a certain way, you're still born of us. You're still our children.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow we got to come together. And, you know, again, maybe folk may not like me saying this, but Ron Isley rose up when he teamed up with R. Kelly with Contagion.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He, oh,
as
my
good as
goodness,
that,
what a
that
brought
song.
Him back,
but it brought him back into the new generation, and it allowed the art. So you got to separate. You say this all the time, Betty. You have to separate the artist from the art.
Yeah.
And you have to appreciate each one separately, as hard as it is. You know,
mm-hmm.
appreciate the art. And people were saying, like, I can't believe that they put those two songs into it, because they put two of the songs with R. Kelly, Contagious, and I forgot the other one that they put in. But they put two songs that, you know, that had him on it. And I was listening. I was like, I wonder if they're going to play his verse or, like, play his, like, singing behind it. They did.
They
played
R. Kelly?
And it's more... They played his, because it wasn't that much. Like, it wasn't like it's an R. Kelly song featuring Ronald Isley. It's Ronald Isley's song. And it really, you
right.
know, that's really part of his history. And it's not fair for others to tell him and to dictate to him what he should and shouldn't play. Granted, mm-hmm. everything that R. Kelly has done, is doing, you know, and not taking away from the horrible, you know, accusations that are being, you know, being said about R. Kelly, but you have to separate, because even, you know, even R. Kelly's songs, when you look at I Believe I Can Fly, and just the
yeah.
feelings behind it, the inspiration that it gives to Black people, you know, and
yeah.
you just have to separate, you know, and the same thing with Bill Cosby and The Cosby Show and how they stopped playing The Cosby Show. And I was like, but that was such a pivotal show, showing Black love, happiness, success, you know, and for you to stop playing it because of an individual, you know, it's a hard topic to discuss, but you have to understand what the show means and what the art behind the artist means to people and what it allows them
mm-hmm.
to get through.
Wow.
It's just a rough
you
thing
know,
because there's so much music that was put out by so much art and music that was put out by certain people. And you know, in the beginning, I was really like against it. But I get certain things now more than I did before. Like, I don't have
a good opinion on it anymore. I used to have a good opinion on it, but I don't have a good opinion on it anymore because it's a rough situation.
No, you have an opinion. It doesn't matter if it's a good opinion or not, like, quote-unquote good opinion. Like, your opinion counts, and, you know, it, you just have to speak from the heart of where and the intention behind it, because everything is about intention.
That's the way it's supposed to be. That is the way it's supposed to be, but that's not it anymore. People don't care about that. They just looking to cancel the person of the week.
Well, you see, my thing is
that's all
that
people
we
care
all
about
have,
anymore.
Well, we all have to take a stand in what we believe in,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I think that's also because what you're saying is very important, because there are many things that have been done by people who are absolutely demonic, but what they
mm-hmm.
contribute.
Yeah.
was very necessary to the world, whatever it may be, not just music, but just in general. Everybody has
yeah.
a story.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a human family have to come to grips with how do you balance that, because I used to do a piece using I Believe I Can Fly by R. Kelly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I could make folk cry in that song because I built it up according to a particular experience that I had.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't use that song anymore. And then I went out and I found out that, I mean, everybody from Etta James to others have sang that song. But I couldn't
mm-hmm.
play it, because even when I played it, people would either
it's
say, R. Kelly did it better, or I don't believe you playing that song. I've had people tell me,
yeah.
we're
yeah,
not playing that song.
Yeah, people will try to cancel you.
Yeah, they say, we're not going to play that. But I said, but this is part of my presentation. This was years ago when it first started to surface.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, things change because people can't separate.
Yeah,
you know,
true.
People cannot separate what's going on. And it's just very interesting to me that... Okay, let me put it to you like this. I'm just going to drop it like this. Okay, Lil Nas X. Okay,
uh-oh.
Everybody getting twisted over what he did. Okay? To me, I think it's magical genius. But I'm going to put that aside for a minute. Because what hypocrites people are. Because...
Right, exactly.
A movie came out. That's my second favorite movie. Second favorite movie. In my life. My first one, it's my third. The first movie that taught me something was Malcolm X by Spike. The second one
mm-hmm.
was The Godfather. The Godfather
yeah.
has a lot of lessons in that. And then comes the third, The Exorcist. My
yeah.
roommate in the Air Force and I, we were in New York for the holidays. We went to see it. And mind you, we're in the Air Force Academy. We're in War College. My brother had to sleep with the light on for 2 weeks after he saw that movie. He was so scared.
I still cover my eyes.
You want to get on Nas X, right? But here in The Exorcist, you have this little girl
mm-hmm.
who the devil gets into a little girl. And this little girl jumps up on the bed, pulls up her nightgown.
That was
takes the crucifix
disturbing.
And begins to stab
disturbing.
Herself in her private
disturbing.
Areas, and then takes her mother's head and puts it between her legs. Now tell me,
disturbing.
Is Nas X, now that you see that part, is Nas X that bad?
Let me tell. First of all,
and that won awards.
There's a three letter word. Why the only reason people have a problem with Little Nas X is a three-letter word. Does anybody know what that is?
Does it begin
with G
and end
with
Y?
Yes.
Hey.
That is the problem. That is the problem, because he came out with like 5-inch thigh-high heels, which he looked, he did his thing. He was walking better than some women who walk like baby cows. He was, listen.
Mm.
Whoa. Anybody that has a problem with the video that Lil Nas X did not see the last second of the video. If you are a person and you have a problem with that video, that means that you did not watch the video. Because first of all, that video wasn't creation story. And what's interesting, the thing that I noticed today when I was watching, because I think it is a creatively fantastic video, the devil in the beginning, that's the serpent, has a third eye. And I did not notice that until today. He has two eyes, and then he has the eye in the middle. And I did not notice that until today. I was like, wow. I mean, the shallowness of people that have an issue with the video is just nauseating. Because
let me tell you what it is. It's fear. Because
it is fear and stupid.
Being around children as I've been in my life, I have been with children who, as I see them, I see their personality and where it's going. And I have known young students. I had a student, male and female, that just came out straight. I had a student in the sixth grade told me, Brother Kaba, I like girls.
Oh.
I've had young men tell me I'm attracted to boys because they didn't have no one to talk to. And I guess they trusted me. And so they spoke to me, told me, you know, what's going on, you know. But here's the point I'm making. When you think of how this society treats the LGBTQ community, to make that young brother as a little boy think that he's going to hell because of who he is and who he loves.
Yep.
What story is the point
of the video.
I've been around children who feel that way. What's going on? Why are people feeling this way about me? I'm just feeling this way. The other thing, Sasha, you once told me something that really caught my attention. Because the thing is that, you know, we keep saying, you know, it's a choice. No, it's not a choice. You know, like, when I was growing up, I didn't say, you know something, am I gay or am I straight? I think I'm going to choose to be straight today. It wasn't a choice.
Exactly.
I was just attracted to women. That's how it was. I was attracted to women. And the same way, you know, I was with a friend of mine. This is when I was younger. And we grew up together in the projects. And we was hanging out. And there were women and guys around. We were all around. And he said to me, you see that girl over there? She's a very attractive girl. He said, you see that girl over there? He said, well, you see how the guys are looking at her? He said, look over there. And there was a guy looking at him. He said, the guys feel towards that girl the way I feel towards that guy.
And how is that a choice? It's stupid.
It's not a choice.
If it was a choice, why would so many teenagers that are part of the LGBT community kill themselves? Why would they just not choose to like the opposite gender and live? Like, why would you choose to like the same gender and then kill yourself because you like the same gender? It is ridiculous to me the way people's brains work. It doesn't make any sense. That was the point of his video. And I'm going to – I apologize if I ruin this for anybody, but that was the point of his video. And at the end, when he was lap dancing for the devil, which majority of humans today are lap dancing for the devil with the greed and the selfishness and the people
– people are lap dancing on Trump.
They decide – but that – exactly. That is my point. But what he did, he said, all of you people are making it seem like I'm going to hell and that I'm going, you know, because of who he is and because of who he loves. He kills the devil. He seduces the devil, kills him, and then takes the horns and puts them on to take control of the narrative of his story and his life so that he can be happy and not care what anybody else says. And I think that that is amazing, and I think that that is a great example for people of a certain age, because that video is not for people – for young people, because it's a little bit provocative. But if you're of a certain age, that is a great example of a video that will make you feel like you can gain control of your life and not care what other people think about you. And the people that have an issue with it did not watch the video.
Remember the children that watched The Exorcist. That scene in that movie where that and that's a little girl.
Right.
That's a little girl, but the point that William Peter Blatty was trying to make in the film and what William Friedkin as the director was trying to say was the devil is so low, he'll even get into little girls to make them act that way. That's the story. And when I watched that, I was seeing the same thing. And you know, the other thing you could do with that, you could substitute any ism in that. If in many ways that applies to anyone who has been made to feel demonic because they are who they are. Be they a woman, be they black, Hispanic, Muslim, anywhere in this society or any society that demonizes you because you are who you are. That story is for you.
Right, exactly.
And look, he said, y'all ain't listening to me, so let me do it in a way that you'll understand it. And the brother took it to a level that folk are having a heart attack because they can't handle the truth.
Yeah, but you can't pick it. It's not a menu. The Bible and Christianity and spirituality is not a menu. It's not a restaurant. You can't pick. Like, oh, today I want lobster, tomorrow I want salmon, the next day I want chicken. Like, you can't pick and choose what sin is worth. You can't say, oh, you know, premarital sex is okay, but being gay is not. Who's, like, how does that, you can't say I'm going to eat shellfish, but I'm going to have a problem with people being gay. Like, it's a sin is a sin. If you are considered, if you consider yourself to be part of that community, you can't pick, it's not a menu. You can't pick and choose which sin you think is worse than the other, because then you go, then you are part of Satan's cult. If you're using those type of scenarios, because I'm not going to hell because I don't believe in hell. I can't go somewhere I don't believe in. So it doesn't matter what people tell me. I don't care about people's opinion because that's your opinion. Like you telling me that I'm going to hell is your opinion. And your opinion is like, never mind, I can't say that on the radio. Everybody
Well, we all have one. I know what you're talking about.
Right. I don't care about other people's opinion. And that was the point of the video. That was from the progression from the beginning until the end. That was the point of the video. And if it went over people's heads, like most humans are very shallow, and the only reason why it's an issue is because he's gay. If he was not gay, it would not be an issue at all, because there's been other videos.
I was, you know, the reason why I brought that up was because of the hypocrisy of the world that we're living in and the need to understand history, understand the history of things. Because going back to the click language and going back to this idea, most of what we do, we operate out of fear. We operate out of fear. And fear is a twin. Fear, which is false evidence appearing real. The twin to fear is denial. But fear and denial are the children of ignorance. Ignorance is the greatest problem that we face. Because in ignorance, ignorance is not so much you don't know. Ignorance is that you are fearful of what you think you know compared to what science is telling you is the truth. So you ignore. That's what ignorance means, to ignore. And that's what we're facing now. But you know what's the beauty of it? Is your generation and the generation younger, they're not into this anymore. They look at the old folks and say, man, I'll be so happy when y'all die out because you are causing too much trouble for us. You are stupid. You're stuck in stupid. And I'm just tired of being around you because you're ruining the world. So why don't you just die? And that's unfortunate because elders have a lot to talk to the young people about. But when you stuck in stupid, you ain't got nothing to say to nobody. In fact, you don't even need to be talking to your own damn self.
Yep.
But this is what we face as a people. And we have to move forward. And your generation, because I've got a lot of podcasts and interviews I'm doing with young brothers and sisters in the 20s. Thanks again, I got to give credit to your brother, Heru, for bringing me to the Instagram, because I've got a lot of folks that are contacting
me. It's called
the
Gram, not the Instagram. It's called the Gram.
Okay. There we go. School me. Okay.
You got to get the lingo.
The Gram. I got to get it right, okay?
Do it for the Gram.
Well, I'm calling it the Gram from now on. I used to call it IG.
Do it for the Gram.
But there's a lot of young people out there that are looking for truth. There are a lot of young people out there looking for truth. And what I try to get to the community to understand is things are getting better. Understand that no matter what you see, no matter what you feel, I got to give my regard to my brother Chief Arredondo from Minneapolis, who came out and spoke truth to power in the George Floyd case.
Mm-hmm.
That never happened in my life. Not only that the chief would say what he said, but that the chief was black. Not only that, but the most elder detective in Minneapolis, who is highly regarded and respected, said the same thing, and he is a person of European descent.
Mm.
I've never seen this before in my life. And it is because everybody before George Floyd made it possible for this to happen. George Floyd took it to the next level. There will be things implemented. Now, is it happening the way it should? Is it happening the way we want it? Maybe not. But it certainly is better than the way it was before. It ain't where we want to be, but it certainly ain't where we used to be.
It's getting there.
Your generation... And this is what I want to say. Don't let the elder generation cloud your understanding of how successful your world can be.
Mm.
Just put these old folk in a home and let them talk amongst each other. Let them hate each other. Let them be all grumpy with each other. Younger generation, you deserve the best.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the best. It may take time. We have some more things to do. But as long, and that's why I value what we do here. I'm speaking to Sasha and Kandike right now. Is because this is a sign that after all these years, you still want to sit down and talk to your father. And your mother, because she was going to say something just a few moments ago. She was ready to jump on something. I don't know what it was.
Uh-oh.
She should have said something.
What were you going to say?
You were talking over her.
Go ahead.
About the song.
Yeah, no, I was a little drunk.
You were talking over mommy?
No, I said his new song went to number one right away a couple of days ago.
It had like 10 million views within the first day, I think, or something like that. His videos, I was just watching all his videos today. Whoever does his videos is a genius. Because he is like his videos are absolutely amazing. Now I will say they were supposed to go. They were, and he gave credit to Utterzinger and FKA Twigs because whoever did the visual for Montero did not give credit to FKA Twigs and the gentleman that I forgot his name. But there was a video that they did, and they didn't get credit for it. So, I mean, they're feeding off of each other, but the whoever's doing his videos is amazing because his videos are absolute. Even the one rodeo that he had with Big Nas, with the original Nas, that video was amazing. Like, every video that he has done. But this is my favorite because anybody that knows me knows how I feel about theology. I absolutely am fascinated and enthralled by religion and different types of religion and how they all are exactly the same except for human beings trying to rewrite spirituality, and it's actually not what we – I feel like it's disrespectful to put God in a box in the first place. Like, none of us have the right to say what God is, what God wants for humans. I feel like that is disrespectful to God, and that is just my opinion because we don't know what God wants. There are people that say God said this. God didn't say that. God didn't tell you that. Because when you see two people of the same gender and you see how much in love they are, that's God talking. not the person saying that that's a sin and an abomination. That's the devil talking. Oh, don't get me started. Man, I am going to stop talking.
No.
Because I felt like I was doing a sermon.
But you know, the other thing is this, and this is something that we have, you know, these are the topics I believe that we have to get into as we move into the future. We can't be afraid. We can't say, oh, I'm afraid that somebody's going to turn against me. There are just things that we have to talk. We have to talk about intercultural relationships. People who are married to people outside of their culture. We have to talk about that.
Oh, boy.
If we are going to heal ourselves, if we are going to do what we have to do, we have to get that. You know, everybody want to be healthy, but when you're sick, you need to have an operation. And sometimes in operation, you have bloodshed. Talking about physical blood. I'm talking about mental anguish, things that you have to think about, things that you have to get over, things that are you have to face yourself and say, you know something? I ain't right. You have to be bold enough and strong enough to accept and realize and be willing to adjust. It's not the strongest that survive, and it's not the survival of the fittest. I've studied this. The ones that survive, that go on in the future, are the ones that can adjust to the new world and the way the world is changing. Don't get set in your way. There are things that are universal. There are truths that exist for millennia. That's true. Lived and existed for eons of time. But the world is always changing. It is always adjusting. Mm-hmm. And you've got to be willing and able to adjust with the times. And what I'm looking at is Western civilization cannot do that because they want to control you. They want to dominate you. They want you to love them and believe them and want everything for them. And you're not supposed to look out for yourself. You're supposed to be able, this is what Europeans will tell you, some, not all. Western civilization will tell you, I have a right to step on your toe, and you have no right to say ouch. No, not only am I going to say ouch, I'm going to take you off my foot.
Push you off of me, right.
And make it so that not only do you not step on my foot again, you ain't going to step on nobody's foot again. We have to be honest.
I believe in that.
If we're going to heal ourselves, we have to be honest, and we have to talk about the uncomfortable issues that we face every day and be bold enough to do it because our people need to talk about this. So that's how I feel about conversations I have because I just have them. I don't care what people think. I mean, I care because it's your opinion, but I don't get twisted thinking that I can't talk about this or I shouldn't talk about. There should be nothing you can't talk about as long as you keep respect for each other. In your conversation.
Right.
Respect people's opinion. You have a right to have your opinion. Who am I to tell you what you should believe? And when it comes to God, you are God. You're God having a human experience. So whatever God leads you to, that is what God is. And so I have a problem with that anthropomorphic white man that people look at God, because to me the only difference between the white man's God and Santa Claus is it seems like God is on... Yeah, they both have beards, but it seemed like God a little more slender. He on Weight Watchers. But other than that, they look like twin brothers.
Oh, my God. Oh, dear.
Sorry to go off that way. But that's where we are today, family. This is how we do what we do. And this is what we used to do growing up on different levels, but we used to do this. We have these conversations. Interrupting each other and getting all up in each other, and then your mother has something to say. The way these the way these conversations are going is exactly what used to happen in our house by matter of degree. The only thing we're missing is Haru. We need to get him up in one of these conversations.
Right, exactly.
He might be listening right now.
Exactly.
Because he said, "Yo, Dad, believe you said that." I said, "How you know what I said?"
He'd be listening.
So I don't believe you said that. If he's on now, I'm going to get a call from him tonight talking about, I don't believe you said what you said. Oh, yeah, I said it. I said it when you were young.
Right.
but this is where we are, family. And it's a good place to be, as long as you don't let what appears false evidence appearing real, as long as you don't allow that to take over your mind to think that that's the future. Because what evil does, it depends on the hopeful to believe that everything is hopeless.
Mm.
That's what it does. Because the hottest part of hell, according to Dante's Inferno, the hottest part of hell is reserved for those who knew better but stood by and watched. The hottest part of hell isn't even reserved for the person that did the wrong deed. It's for the person that knew better and didn't do better, didn't say better. And it's not going to be on my watch. I have to say what I see. That's why I like John Mayer's song, Say. That's one of my themes. When I go out to speak, I listen to that on my iPod. Say what you got to say.
Every time I hear it, I think of you.
Yep, that's my song. That and Waiting for the World to Change. Those are two songs I have on my iPod.
You know, we never actually got to the topic of today.
Oh, my goodness.
We've been on here for an hour and 10 minutes, and we never even got to the topic. So let's play that
honestly,
song.
What is the topic?
The topic we were talking about, you know, because it was based on we were considering what was going on with DMX, and, you know, a lot of people have an issue with, you know, that it was an alleged drug overdose, and they're saying, oh, he's always, but, you know, with every addiction, there's a foundation of the reason why they're addicted to something in the first place. So I think that it's really important because, you know, people love DMX when he's big and when he's making music, when he's doing his thing. But now when he needs love the most, people are attacking him and making it seem like he's a bad person, you know, because of what he did, and don't take into consideration the pain that he's in and why he did what he did in the first place. You know, because all of the things that people are posting about DMX, like all of the interviews that he's done and everything, have been him praying for the people around him. So the people that love him are just asking for people to pray for him the way that he's done for them. So that was what, you know, we were talking about addiction and why people are addicted and why, you know, why stuff like that happens. So we can play the song, and then we can talk about that a little bit when we get back.
Sounds good.
So let me, I have found it. Give me 1 second. All right, here we go.
In the league, who you wanna be? I'm who they wanna be. B-E-A-U-T-Y-E. Never seen so much rage from a queen. Rage from a queen. Queen so strong, cause she was a machine. Girl of your dreams, Sinclair regime. Turn to the max, can't forget Maxine.
But front to me as a goddess inside of me. I'm modest, 100 degrees the hottest. If we being honest, ebony, anybody. Black people win, they say we be a demonic. Angel in disguise, I hate, I have to disguise it. Why you gotta despise it? Rich in the mind is why I'm making deposits. Carry all the power, it's time to realize it.
Don't know, good thing my power, my power, my power. Don't know, good thing my power, my power, my power. They feel away, oh wow. They feel away, oh wow. Don't know, good thing my power, my power, my power. Don't know, good thing my power, my power, my power. They feel away, oh wow. They feel away, oh wow.
This that rhythm, this that lightning, this that bar, this ain't no par. This that nappy, this that herb, this that kinfolk, this that skinfolk, this that war, this that bloodline on the front line. ready for war. Where you gonna run? Protect my grace, keep it locked in the safe. Don't make me get back to my ways. My power they never take.
Don't ever take my power.
That was
That's
nice.
Also one of my favorite songs on the album. Yeah. I like that song a lot.
Sounds good.
It's amazing. It's amazing how we can totally go off on tangents. And we had a whole
but
topic.
You see, that's,
like, that's why sometimes
yep.
it's better to just not have a topic.
or touch on it the way we do, because we don't have to stay long on things, but I think it's the extemporaneousness of our conversation that is of the greatest value. You know, because, folk have been workshopped out. They have been interviewed out. What makes mm-hmm. what's called reality TV reality is the fact that people believe that it's what's happening in real life. That's what made soap operas. Reality
That's
TV
true.
Is an outgrowth of the soap operas.
Hmm.
And I think that the extemporaneousness of our conversation is what will attract people, because they can see that this wasn't planned.
That it's real. Right.
You know, this is like we sitting in a,
right.
this is like a reality TV in a sense. Because we're just a family talking. And I think that's what's attractive. When you come on with a plan and you go through it, it has its place if you're teaching something. But if you're having a family conversation, it's about everything. This is what we do in your house, Sasha, and in Candace's backyard.
Right.
And, you know, this is what we do when you come over.
Before
this is what
COVID,
we've always
on Saturday,
done.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
we
this
drive
is real.
Downtown on Saturdays before COVID.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, this is what we did. And now people get to hear it. And for someone like myself who's doing the work that I'm doing, what am I like as a father, as a husband? You know, you see me as a teacher. But how do I talk to my daughters, and how do my daughters talk to me? How do I talk to my son?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and here's our queen. Every so often she has something to say.
Something random to say.
and she puts out her declaration. No, sister does her declaration. She does her thing. And that's how
and
it's always
miss
been.
You
so
when you talk, mommy. The people miss hearing you talk.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, she'll talk when she got something to say. But, you know, going back to what we were talking about, addiction, and we've spoken about this before. The key to addiction is to understand clearly that it's not what you do that's the addiction. It's why you're doing it. And most people are doing it to escape.
Right.
You're trying to escape an unpleasant feeling. And when you're doing something, whether it be drugs, alcohol, food, whatever it may be, it's not what you're doing that's the problem. It's why you're doing it, so that the way in which we treat people who are addicted to drugs is not the way we treat people who are addicted to other things that we consider to be legal. Drug addiction, addiction in general, is a mental issue. It is not a criminal issue. Although what you do might lead you to a crime, because if you are strung out on drugs, you might commit a lot of crimes to make the money to be able to buy the drugs. So that the addiction may lead you to a crime, but it is not a crime in and of itself. And so addiction needs to be dealt with from a mental perspective. And it wasn't until really they came to realize white folk, people of European descent, white folk, are in bigger trouble as it relates to drugs. Because they brought drugs into the black community, thinking that it would only stay in the black community.
And then they
not realizing that your children would leave your community to come to our community to buy their drugs.
Yep.
They didn't realize that eventually what is illegal drugs would become legal drugs, and that you'd be strung out on opioids. The world never saw that. But now that they're strung out, now all of a sudden people want to have compassion for people on drugs. But when it was black and Hispanic folk, you ain't had no compassion. You want to put us in jail. In fact, you created laws to put us in jail. So when we look at someone who has an addiction, we have to look at it from a mental health issue. We have to look towards reaching out to someone like Kandike, to a psychiatrist, to a psychologist, to someone who knows how to handle these issues, as opposed to calling the cops.
Yep.
And that's one of the changes I believe that's happening, is that there are some things like that young brother McLean in Colorado, he didn't need a cop to come after him. He needed a mental health clinician to come to him and to talk to him.
And that was the point of defunding the police. It was never about getting rid of the police. It was about, if you are having a mental breakdown, nobody should be calling the police. If you're having, depending on the situation, would determine who you call. And that was the point. But people here defund the police, which they probably shouldn't have said it in that way, because human beings' brains just don't get things. It wasn't about saying, no more police, we're getting rid of all the police. That's not what it was about. It was about defunding them and putting some funds in other areas that are more equipped to handle the situation that was at hand. It was never about getting rid of the police altogether.
Well, the example that you're talking about, when I first started teaching, 1979, and one day, like early January, right after the holiday, I was in the gym. I was lining up the classes. There were like, I think I had six classes in the gym that day. And all of a sudden, I see two clothed policemen and one in regular dress. And they come in and they wave to me, and I wave back at them. And then the two policemen in uniform walk around and talk to the children that are online. And the plainclothesman comes up to me. And he starts talking to me, and he says, you know, I belong to the Police Athletic League. And every year we have an Olympics for the children. We notice your school has never participated. But we wanted to come out and ask you if you'd be interested in being a part of it. And I said, sure, that's a great idea. And so they gave me a list of the activities, the potato sack and, steal the bacon and the other act, the races, and they said, if you start to train the students in this area, long story short, okay, in the summertime, not summertime, but in the the late spring before school ends, they have this Olympics down by Yankee Stadium, McCombs Park. Where the new Yankee Stadium is now is where this park was, called McCombs Park, 161st Street. And so they notified me, and we went, and we took the train, and, I had about 25 to 30 students with me, and this was 1980. And so they had refreshments, they had lunch. Everybody won awards. The children ran. The children, when we were coming home, the child told me, he said, you know, Mr. Coleman, this is the first time I ever won anything in my life.
Oh.
That was the police athletic league. Later on, there were police officers that would contact me and ask me to start teaching at Rikers Island.
Mm.
Okay, we did that. There was another time that the DARE program, which is gang and drug related, that deal with the police, they brought me onto their team. They used to come pick me up, and I would go speak to the children about culture and about different things, about how great they are and, you know, staying away from things that would hurt them. And then finally, they had a program where they would have young people, like in middle school and high school, be attached to the police department and learn what it is to be a policeman. And they had nice uniforms and everything. The point that I'm making is that I would have liked to have seen more money. See, money was taken from those programs to put more human police on the block. If you took that money and put it back into the PAL, the Police Athletic League, if you took the money and put it into the DARE program, if you took the money and put it into programs that brought young people into understanding security in the community. It's not about defunding the police. It's about refunding the police.
Hello?
Hello?
I don't know what happened. Uh-oh.
Did I drop?
No, you're still here.
Oh, okay. Did Sasha drop?
Uh-oh. Go ahead. You can keep talking.
So, point is, don't defund the police. It was a word. President Obama said, you know, you used a very controversial word. You got a lot of attention. But the question is, are people going to use that word against you?
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what happened. They started saying, we're going to take money from you. Now, when you start telling police that means that your summer vacation is over. Ain't no police want to hear you taking money from them. You got to refund the police. Take the money and put it in places that can stop crime from its beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so addiction is quite something else.
Yeah, it's hard, and people do get a bad rap for certain addictions versus other addictions. But like you said, you have to look at what's behind the addiction. Why are they addicted? And provide the help that's necessary. So now people have something to say about DMX, but what about those that were around him that could have stopped him or could have helped him or could have helped to help him? Like, you have to stand accountable for one another. If we see somebody struggling, we can't just, you know, because he's making money and because we're on his roster, we can't just go along with him without telling him the truth and trying to help him and try to be there for him, which I'm sure a lot of people have tried to do. But this is honestly a trying time. These past 2 years, 2020 and 2021, have been extremely hard for people. And there's been so much that's happening within the mental health field during these 2 years. So this is the time to be around your family, support them, ask them how they're doing, you know, anything that can help them process or even know that they can come to you if they're having trouble. You know, it's so hard to say what people are thinking in the back of their mind, because a lot of times people can present one way you never even know what they're experiencing behind closed doors. In DMX's case, he's been troubled. He's been ever, when he came out, people knew about, he talked about his story. They knew his struggle. They knew what he was dealing with. They knew everything that comes with being at the top, making all that money, you know, already having issues on top of issues, and then throwing into that being, you know, in front of the camera, every little thing, you know, is being scrutinized. And it's just hard for people. So just ease up, you know, people have a problem with what's going on with DMX. Ease up on that. Allow him to, you know, to feel the positive vibrations. If you ain't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
He also, when he was 14, he was smoking weed and it was laced with crack cocaine. So he didn't even, from the story, and he also said that he was bipolar, allegedly. From what I understand, he said it. But a lot of times, there's people that they do things with one intention, and they're involved with people that have another intention for them, and end up getting them caught up in situations that they don't even have control over, because drugs is not somewhere you can just say, oh, I'ma just stop because I have willpower. Like, that's something that it takes over, and you don't always have control over it. So the thing that the issues that he was having initially, allegedly, from what I'm understanding, was not even his fault. Once your body and your mind is introduced to it, there's a part of you that loses control. So people got an issue with what DMX did and how he allegedly did this, even with Whitney Houston. You know, people had an issue with what she was doing and how she died, but she had to live a part of her life was a lie, allegedly, because she was in love with someone of the same gender and couldn't even be who she was because of the music industry. So a lot of times when we, you know, when Lil Nas X, we were talking about earlier, when he decided to take control of his narrative, he had issues, because even in the song talks about weed and white. Like, white is cocaine. When you are in that, when you feel helpless and when you feel like the whole world is against you, sometimes you go to places where you wouldn't have gone if you were in the right state of mind. There's a lot of people that are part of the LGBT community that are addicted to sex and to drugs and to alcohol because nobody loves them, especially in the black community. People don't love them. They've thrown them out with the trash, and they don't care. They say, I don't have a son anymore. I don't have a daughter anymore, because people are ignorant and fearful and stupid, and it is something that, you know, not all parents can handle it. And even initially, some parents can handle it, even if they get better later on. But addiction is something that, like Daddy said, you escape from the reality of the world. I think you said about escaping. Like, this world is hard. When you are a spiritual being inside of a human body, it is sometimes difficult to live in the world that we live in. It is not easy. Even the best people have a hard time. A lot of times it's the people that are the happiest and the most cheerful and the most giving with their energy that have the most issues. And a lot of people that take their lives are usually the ones that everybody looks to for salvation. And it's unfortunate, but that's something that, you know, and a lot of times those people escape what they're going through, and the physical energy that everybody has dumped on them, they escape that with food, with drugs, with alcohol. The only way for them to get rid of that energy is to find a way to get rid of it. And unfortunately, a lot of people find addictions and other vices in order to get rid of that energy. And it's unfortunate, but we can't speak on other people's pain unless we've been through it and come out. And sometimes even if you've been through it and come out better at the end, just because you come out better doesn't mean that everybody else has the same ability. Sometimes people come out better just so that they can be an example for other people that are not able to do it as well and as fast as they are. So when we talk about addictions, we really need to take into consideration that some people just cannot handle a situation that they're in. And it's not even about right or wrong. People need compassion. People need people to love them. And if you love somebody and you know that they're going through something, just love them. Even if you don't want to be around them, just still love them.
Like, this doesn't take heart. It's not hard to send somebody a text message, to call them, to send them a heart, to send them, you know, love. It's not difficult to let people know that you care about them. Like, we need to do a better job and stop judging people.
You know, it's interesting. With my relationship with Nick Cannon over time, and when I got a chance to be with him when we were filming that piece on Dr. Sebi, we spoke, and he told me things basically about where he was coming from and what he was doing. And then when the incident occurred a few months ago, when he had Professor Griff on, I was asked to do a radio program, which I did. And one of the questions was about Nick Cannon, how I felt about him. And I supported him. And I got a lot of feedback from that. A lot of folk didn't care for me and my opinion towards him. And my simple response was, and it goes back to what you're saying as it relates to loving someone or honoring someone. If you are a friend, you don't abandon your friend.
Right.
You may not agree. Yeah. You may not agree.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your right.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to agree. But if that's your friend, and he's or she is your friend, you don't abandon
mm-hmm.
them. And I particularly
yep.
don't abandon them because someone else tells me I should. Because
exactly.
you don't know my friendships. You don't know my friendships. Who are you to tell me who are my friends and who I should be careful of? I don't always agree. I think I agree with him. He loved black people, and I love black people.
Mm-hmm.
I may not agree with certain concepts, and he probably doesn't agree with some of mine. But that's not what makes us who we are. I don't abandon
yep.
my people simply because you think, when I say you, I mean people who want to oppose them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to put your opinion on me. You heard what you said about everybody got an opinion like a, okay?
Yes.
Everybody got
mm-hmm.
an opinion. And I got to say to the so-called, because I don't think it exists, to the so-called conscious community, you're playing a little bit with that fire, too. You're trying to tell people what is an African and what is not an African. Who made you decider-in-chief? I don't know who an African is. I just watch how you act.
Yeah. It's true.
You know, so as
yep.
we move through this process, like I say, I belong to a very exclusive club. I mind my own damn business, because the day I started minding my own damn business was the day I came to realize how much damn business I had to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how people could be in other people's business. With the work that I'm doing at this
exactly.
point in my life, I wish there were more hours in a day, more days in a week.
Seriously.
I can't see how people could be all up in your business.
For
my man Ghostface. I hear Ghostface. He talking to me.
Yeah, he got something to say.
But
oh,
this is where
sorry.
We are.
Yep. And
we have to be more
on that note,
with one another.
Yeah. And just meet people where they are. I say it all the time.
Yep. And if you don't got nothing nice to say, don't say nothing at all.
That's right.
That's what my mom has to say about the dead. She says,
oh.
If you don't have nothing good to say about the dead, don't say nothing.
She's a very wise woman.
My mother
mm-hmm.
was a pharaoh. My mother was like Hatshepsut. My mother was a philosopher queen. Many a day I sat at the table drinking coffee, talking to her. She gave me a lot of wisdom. And now that I look back, I realize how much wisdom she really was sharing with me. But when you're young, you don't see it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's why they
yep.
say that youth is wasted on the young. Because if I could put in people's mind my collective experience up to this point, if you could see the pitfalls that I fell, if you could see the errors that I've made, and you don't make them anymore, you would advance yourself into society because you wouldn't have to fall into the pitfalls that I've fallen into.
Mm.
But then again, some elders talk to youngers like you telling people what to do.
Yeah.
And it's your approach. You know, you got to approach young people. Remember how you were when you were young. I remember how I was when I was young. When nobody mm-hmm. telling me nothing, I knew it all. So I remember. So I'm very careful how I approach when I speak to young people. Like the time I was on the train. And this was years ago. I sat down on the train. And, you know, when you sit down on the train, you don't really know who's around you. You're just getting on the train, making sure, you know, that you can sit down. So I sat down. And right across from me, there was these two young brothers, middle school. Looked like people I had just left in my classroom. And I see them because I smell something. And what they're doing is that they are painting orange water guns black with a magic marker. You know how that strong smell? And they're painting orange water guns black to make them look real. And I'm looking at them, and then they look at me. And then I look around. There's a whole bunch of adults watching them. Nobody's saying a thing. And I say, young brothers. Look, I don't mean no disrespect, but I just need to say something right now. I say because tonight when I turn on the 11 o'clock news, I do not want to hear that two young African-American men were shot and all of a sudden they find out that it was a plastic water gun that blocked on my mind all my life. So please let me tell you something. That's very dangerous. What you're doing is, I know why you're doing it, and they're smiling. I know why you're doing it. You want to make it look like it's real. But at the same time, that could cost you your life tonight. And I say your parents might get a call tonight that their baby boy ain't coming home. And I said, as an adult sitting on this train, knowing what I know, for me to sit here and let you just do that without saying something? I said, I can't do that. So, please, can I just ask you, think about what you're doing. Just think about what you're doing. And it certainly did kill that young boy in Cleveland.
Yep.
And it can kill them. And so, you know, what was interesting is that they put it away. They said, oh, okay. Okay, mister. Now, they might have taken it out later on and started painting again. But for that moment, I could not sit as a bystander and let that happen. But it's, I think my success was how I approached them. By opening up, I said, look, I don't mean no disrespect. I ain't coming at you like that. I said, but I'm watching something turned about, and I just got to speak on it. So if you just give me a few moments to say what I got to say, and then that's when I said it. The approach made it possible. But if I jumped on them and started calling them names and telling you stupid, then they would have just gone on and they might have had a real one to pull out and shoot me. So who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
It's all according to your approach.
Mm-hmm.
Our young people
and heal
deserve
people
the
have
best.
To heal people.
That's it. And hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope this is what these conversations are doing for folks. Just giving
that's
us
right.
a chance to chop it up. Talk about it. Get
that's
down.
Right.
Deep.
And keep
James
on
Powell
keeping
said, I want
on.
To get down. In order for me
in
to,
order
get,
to
down,
get down,
I got to get in deep.
Yeah,
I got to get in deep.
Go.
They say, Bobby, what we going to do now? James say, Bobby, I don't know. But what's an ever it's got to be funky.
That's right.
That's how we roll. Got to be funky.
Sounds good to me.
Keep on keeping on.
Oh, watch out. I'm going to copy that. I like that.
Because it ain't over till we win.
Oh, my goodness. I'll tell people you're the one that told me that, but I got to use that.
There we go. I've seen that on some shirt somewhere.
Yeah. I saw it on a mask.
Oh, that too. I seen that too.
So, family, we're getting it little by little, step by step.
That's right. By any means necessary.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Well, Hotep fam.
Hotep fam.
Two weeks, aka 5 minutes.
Sounds good. We'll talk next time.
Yes. Next time.
That's my song.